is Christmas Eve, in which we recall the hope we have in Christ. Today, we light again the candles of hope, peace, love, and joy. We speak of hope because God keeps his promises to us. We work for peace because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he calls his children to work for peace in his name. We show love because Jesus gave everything for us and led us to know the forgiveness of God. We share joy because the Holy Spirit fills our hearts and minds with the presence of God. Now we light our last candle to remember the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As the prophets promised so long ago, you have come to us once again, and with the shepherds, we are filled with wonder and amazement. Lord, you came as a tiny, fragile baby, yet we know that you are God, and you are with us. May the flame of this candle remind us that you are the light of the world, and that if we follow you, we will never walk in darkness, but we will have the true light of life. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.
Our scripture, which is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 15.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." May God bless the reading of his word.
Celebrate the close of the Advent season, a period that begins in late November and runs through December. It is the first season of celebration on the calendar of the Christian Church. The term Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, not only meaning coming, but also meaning appearance. By definition, Advent means the arrival of a notable person, a thing, or event. And in the birth of our Lord and Savior, we have all three. In personage, Jesus, the Son of the living God. In thing, the good news of salvation, which he brought to those 2,000 years ago, as well as to each and every one of us today. In the event, his incarnation, God coming to earth, wrapping himself in human skin, the God-man Jesus on that night of nights, that silent holy night. By way of theology, it is both a celebration of his first coming as a babe in a manger in Bethlehem, but also a celebration of his promised second coming. Charles Dickens' memorial work, Great Expectations, not only pointedly relates to those who some 2,000 years ago waited with great expectations the first coming of their Messiah in Bethlehem, but to you and I tonight, who come with great expectancy, anticipating the second coming of our Lord and Savior. Why was this appropriate? Having noted so, the Advent season is a time of expected waiting or preparation or remembrance and of meditation. So why will we be lighting candles at the end of our service? Because it demonstrates the intention to pray for a person or event or concept. And the lighting of the candles symbolizes those prayers, our prayers of intention. We have, over the last 4 weeks, lit the theme of candles of hope, love, peace, and joy, each representing God's hope, love, peace, and joy given to us, for us by God, our prayer for each theme to God, that each might come to pass, and our expression of those themes to and for others. And tonight we have lit the final candle, the Christ candle, in recognition of Him who was purposed, who was planned, and who was promised. And many of us recall such related scripture concerning light. Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?" Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In Isaiah 60, the Holy Spirit through Isaiah cries, "Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." John, sent of God to bear witness of the light, said of Jesus, "He was the true light." In John 8, Jesus said of himself, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall never walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light." And Matthew penned concerning his birth, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." So what is the message as we believers should proclaim today regarding such light? And as we have lit the Christ candle, what is our message? John 5. "This then is the message that we heard of him, and we declare unto you that God is light." One of my favorite Christmas carols was written by John Neal. Maybe it's one of your favorites, or at least one you've heard sung during the season of great expectation. It voices the cry of the people of Israel, the lament of a nation, of God's people, for a Messiah to be sent by God to dwell with them. The opening lines begin, O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel meaning God with us, or the God who will dwell with us. Why was this their cry? Because they had been, over countless years, oppressed by stronger foreign nations, the Egyptians, Syrians, Assyrians, Babylonians, and now the Romans. And what they longed for and prayed for was the long-awaited, promised Messiah from God, who would save them, ransom them from such bondage. Ransom meaning to obtain the release of a captive, by making full payment demanded. And so the lyrics continue, "And ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here." Therefore, with such a cry for help and being in such a situation, God grants their prayer, their hope, their great expectation, by sending his son into the world, into their world, into our world, into his world. And we read, "Until the Son of God appear, rejoice, Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Galatians 4:4. But when the set time had fully come, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Their hope then was and is our hope now, that God would, as he did for them, rescue us by seeking us, by saving us, by redeeming us. The title for our evening meditation is simply this: Purposed, Planned, Promised. This is, in our vocabulary, there is a four-letter word, a very misused four-letter word, a four-letter word that needs to be repeated often in our vocabulary, and yes, this four-letter word will, without question, offend many, because when properly defined and clearly understood, this four-letter word divides. It divides the worldview from our Christian worldview. It divides non-believers from those who believe in the one true God. It divides neighbors, friends, loved ones, and family. It is the word hope. And it is in connection not only with the future, but with today, that time period in which we live, in which we work, in which we go about doing whatever needs to be done. But rest assured, hope is not a dream. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is not just longing for a better life. No. Hope is a person. Colossians 1:27, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hope is found in only one person, Jesus the Christ. The song lyrics go as follow: My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and his righteousness. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all, my hope, my stay. And when we define hope, our only hope in this way, very, very few will continue in conversation with us. Even though any other way that they define hope, or for that matter, any one thing or one person they place their hope in, just doesn't work. The world is evidence of such colossal failure, which suggests clearly why we've come together this evening: to celebrate, to rejoice, to hear and sing of the greatest story of hope ever announced, announced by God himself, about his Son's sonship, and about how man, whose hope is in Christ, has finally been redeemed. It is through this story, through his story, God would have us know that God does nothing by chance, that everything he does has a purpose, that everything he does has a plan, and that through his purposed planning, all his promises are fulfilled so as to bring great honor and glory to him. His purposed plans are never early. His purposed plans are never late. They are precise, displaying pinpoint accuracy and perfect precision. Case in point, I don't know if you're aware that there are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament of Jesus, of his comings, of his birth, of his life, his ministry, his death and resurrection. And in his physical time on earth, of those 90 prophecies that were given, he fulfilled every one. Dr. Peter Stone, a well-known and brilliantly recognized mathematician, calculated the odds of one person fulfilling just 8 of such prophecies would be 1 in 100 quadrillion. For one person to fill even 48 of such prophecies would be 1 to the 10 to the power of 157. Now from that we must conclude, whether we are mathematicians or not, as to not being a fool, we must conclude that God has a purpose, that God has a plan, that God is faithful in what he promises, and that he will fulfill all that he has yet promised. Psalm 145, the Lord is trustworthy in all he promises. He is faithful in all he does. And if you're not sure the psalmist had it right, maybe you'll listen to hear the word of the Lord himself delivered through Isaiah. For God says in Isaiah chapter 46, yes, I have spoken it. I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. God gives us the gift of victory. If we scrolled back some 6,000 years to the fall of Adam and Eve, we read in Genesis 3:15, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and you will strike at his heel. And we read in Luke, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find that babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in the manger. God purposed it. God planned it. God promised it. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Amen. Amen. And amen. And we, all we who are faithful, can sing with the heavenly host, yea, Lord, we greet thee. Born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. The fullness of that promise in Genesis is found in the gospel records. The fullness of that promise is found by many in this world yet, but recognized by only the faithful, the faithful worshipers of the one true God. It comes symbolically in the morning hours of Christmas Day when we exchange gifts, for it was for them, for it is for us, the greatest gift exchange ever. The great reformer Martin Luther called it the sweet exchange. For we gave to God our sin, all our sins, and in exchange we are given Jesus' righteousness. From of ancient time, God promised it. God planned it. God fulfilled the promise in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for such a gift for your Son, our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize you as a God of promise, a promise keeper who set in stage all that would happen so that you could come and redeem man from his sin by via your Son, Jesus the Christ. And we, with great expectation, knowing your promises are always fulfilled, live in the expectation of your second coming. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Amen.